The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes, Stitcher, and nfl.com/Sheck.
S-H-E-K, Sheck.
Of course, as Week 10 approaches, you know that cheer that you just heard, S-H-E-K, Sheck. You know it from Fireman Ed doing that with the J-E-T-S, Jets. As a Steelers fan, and I'm feeling it right now as a supporter of those Pittsburgh Steelers. Maybe I should have called that one off this week. But what's done is done. We'll move forward now. And Week 10 is upon us. As we're coming at you, the Browns and Bengals are about to kick off there. Fascinating stuff. Don't want to dig too much into that one because presumably, if you're listening to us, that game is concluded. I will say, though, if the Browns win or have won this game, they, I think, are the slight favorite to win the AFC North with Josh Gordon coming back in a fortnight now. Anyway, we'll dig into all of it. First of all, let's say hello to the man who was right on time today here in Studio 66. Maximum Strength!
Or just Lucio 66.
Thank you for that unnecessary interruption. Black Tie Behind the Glass. He, you know, his work from the power rankings, his picks are available right now for you on NFL.com. You see him on the fantasy show. It's Elliot Harrison. What's the poop, fella?
What's up, man? You know, I haven't heard Fortnite since it. What department store was it that used to do the Fortnites where every 2 weeks they'd change the theme?
You know where I used to always hear Fortnite? The first time I became aware of it was around about 1980-ish. Or 83-ish. And they would always talk about the Fortnite of Wimbledon.
Fortnite
of Wimbledon. And speaking of things English, let's say hello now to the man who moved over from London, England, many moons ago now, and has for years, well before that even, been a diehard Miami Dolphins fan. Talk about feeling it right now. Here he is, everybody. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. One of my greatest regrets about coming to live in the U.S. is I had to abandon the word Fortnite. I had to leave that part of my vocabulary
behind.
Studio
66.
I'll bring it. I love it. It's been a great fortnight for the Dolphins,
funnily enough. That's very true. Do you like Wimbledon, though?
I do. It's fun.
Have you been to it?
I've never been there.
I'd like to see it. That grass that they play, it's an interesting thing. I wonder how they make that happen. Is it the length of like a putting green?
Yeah, I think they go with nail scissors. There's a man who cuts it all with nail scissors every morning.
I'm fascinated by how they create
that
kind of grass.
You and I.
All right,
strawberries and cream.
Yes.
Tennis on grass.
All right, we'll see you in 9 months, London, England. All right, let's say hello. Let's get into it.
But, Dave, it's like you say, every half fortnight plus 2 minutes, Hank is in studio to do the podcast.
Handsome Hank, bitten by his own snake. One week ago, you gave the business to Elliot Harrison
for being late.
And then who showed up late today?
I fully admit it. I arrived today at least a minute and a half late, which means that collectively between the two of you, because I'm by myself on this one, I'm probably 999 minutes behind the lateness that you guys have
shown. Hodgson Island, that's what I would call that.
Right.
All right. Yes, Handsome. By the way, your Dolphins, kudos.
Thank you.
On the way they've been performing.
Tremendous.
Can I tell you something? I have been calling for this, as you know. When Ryan Tannehill was on this show, in fact, Black Tie Behind the Glass, you'll recall that I said this to him, that it's time to use the wheels a little bit, fella. Don't be afraid of running. I know that you want to separate yourself from the I was a wide receiver at A&M days and I'm a pocket passer and all that, but it's not a crime for you to take off and put additional pressure on a defense by running, and they're running some of that pistol now and everything quite effectively. Handsome, what's the high end here for this team?
They've got a really tough game this week against the Lions. They've got to go into Detroit and beat a team with a great defense. But the exciting thing for watching them is they've been putting up the, you know, it used to be there was about 3 or 4 years where, you know, with Chad Henne originally and then Ryan Tannehill, that they would score 20 points and that was about their maximum every game. Suddenly we've reached this team which is like 27, 30s, 40s even maybe. If they can go into Detroit and score 27 points. I think they win that game.
I am fascinated by that game as much as any on the slate for Week 10 there, because it's two teams that appear to be good and legit contenders, but by Sunday night, I feel like we're going to say, well, that's it. That's
they're not both going to lose, Dave.
No, indeed. And if the, you know, the Lions at worst can finish it, the week still in first place, tied with the Packers, and that's the worst case scenario for them. I keep thinking the Lions are going to fall off, they're going to fall off, they're going to fall off, but then I remember, oh yeah, they have Calvin Johnson yet to really be healthy, or very little exposure of 100% Calvin Johnson. That's only going to improve things. And Reggie Bush hasn't really been right. So
and
maybe
they've had
that
no
team
tight ends. Like when they were in London, the last game they played, they were playing with a guy who I think they signed off the street in London, so they had to teach him the game first and then get him on the field.
I think there's more pressure on the Dolphins in this game than the Lions, because you already mentioned the record. If the Lions lose, okay, fine, they're 6-3, they're still in good shape. Miami loses, a different ball game.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think for the Dolphins as an organization, and correct me if I'm wrong here, they have to show that, hey, we can be consistent.
Right.
They've done this before where they've had a really impressive game. Everyone's like, wow, you know, and then maybe not 37-0 impressive. We need to see the Dolphins go and win a tough road game after having this huge game, or else everyone's just going to think it was an anomaly.
And then they go into a Thursday night game, so short week against the Buffalo Bills, you know, AFC East rival who they lost to already once this season.
And who have a good record.
So we're having a great time. It's week 9 and everyone's happy. Week 11, things could be very, very different. So I think they understand that the pressure's on them.
Well, for what it's worth, the Patriots do have a rough stretch coming up, and it's not like the Dolphins' schedule is easy. But, you know, they do have the head-to-head against the Patriots. If they would take that game, which is, you know, if they take that one, then a division crown is realistic. I know it seems loco to say that about the AFC East, especially with Tom Brady and company playing the way they are. But, all right, what do we have here, Black Tie? What's going on? Oh, we're bringing him in here. All right, everybody.
Wow.
There it is.
Who is
He's
this guy?
Joining us for the just about the full show. He missed last week. Now he's back on track.
Hair parted to the side.
Right.
NFL Media's research department. He is the rising star here on the Dave Damashek football program. I'm speaking, of course, about Drew Statton. The gang's all here, so let's get into it, fellas. It's one of the more popular things we do here. It's the Red Challenge Flag segment where we pick the games, or I should say Elliot Harrison and Handsome Hank go head-to-head in picking the games. And if one wants to throw the red challenge flag at the other for his choice, that is his will. We sit by. Drew Statton throws out some numbers to support or go against. Yes, Handsome.
Are we keeping score in the red challenge flag?
I would imagine that's something
our producer is doing. Wanted to check that.
If
that
you
was
go
the
to
case.
NFL.com, pick them.
Yeah, I imagine.
The machines
pick'em.
Do it.
Well, the thing is with Pick'em is Elliot Harrison doesn't input his picks. I mean, it's a much more convenient way for him to do it because he can make up what happened in the past. But I think it would be interesting to know. Maybe Drew Statton, as our stats keeper, would be able to tell us how we're doing overall. I just think that you know, adds a frisson of interest for the fans.
It adds a what?
I agree.
A frisson.
Because Elliot doesn't have an article out there.
A new word for us. Frisson. Wow.
What does that mean?
A little hint.
Oh. I like this idea a lot, by the way, when it was when it was going to be for Black Tie, not for me.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into it. And by the way, I do need to mention that, of course, when it comes to picking football games, the gold standard in 2014 is Football Baby. His picks have been made. They've been committed to history. And my iPhone, soon they will belong to the world as soon as we put them up on NFL.com. They will be there. And I just want a little sneak preview. There's a little special feature. You know, they've begun documenting his story a little bit, and so
a football life.
Well, I don't want to get into any further detail. Just be on the lookout on NFL.com, or you can follow
and NFL Now.
Oh yeah, and NFL Now, and you can follow me at Damashek on Twitter. All of those. We'll give you your picks for Week 10. If you don't know, he's 8-0. He has not picked easy games. He took Colt McCoy in Big D 2 weeks ago. He took the Dolphins over the Chargers. He took the Eagles over the Texans last week. Steelers over Ravens, and he took the Patriots over the Broncos. Certainly
David
none Peck of those.
Genius.
Thank you, AJ Hawk. But really, Football Baby is the genius here. I'm just riding his coattails. As you can hear, though, not gimme games. Once again, the Week 10 games, no gimmies. Now let's turn to the so-called experts and see how they fare. Not against Football Baby, but against each other. Handsome and Elliott. The red challenge flag begins now.
Red challenge flag begins.
All right. Good luck to you both.
Thank you.
And we will start with an important game. I would say a little bit more important perhaps to the 49ers than it is to the Saints, but 2-4-4 teams. I don't think many people anticipated that being the case. Elliott, I'm going to start with you. The game in NOLA, how say you?
Saints haven't lost at home under Sean Payton since 2010. I'm taking the Saints.
Dave, I'm afraid, at least to start with, the red challenge flag is staying inside my trouser pocket.
Boo! I like conflict.
All right. Know you do, but I agree with Elliott. I don't see how the Niners, who have to travel most of the way across the country, get a win in a place which has been Fortress Saints for
so
long.
Well, here's why. Because it's one of my – I don't know if Drew Staton can support my theory, but a desperate NFL team, unless they are garbage, if two teams are relatively evenly matched, mm-hmm. the team that is more desperate to get the victory tends to get it. The Niners need it.
But they both have identical records.
Because the Saints happen to be in that bum division this year. The Niners lose here. I think they're just about done. They're going to have to run the table basically to be playoff relevant.
I don't think they're going to snatch the Saints unaware either.
Well, I just hope that that was terrible, by the way. I just hope that the Damashek theory works for the Raiders this week because I could really use a win.
No, I did lay down the caveat that as long as they're not a bum.
Okay.
Team.
Well, the whole thing that's weird about the 49ers is when they go from west to east, they don't have the same luck, I guess, that the Raiders have, and that they're 8-2 and 1 p.m. starts under Harbaugh. So I guess they do have a fighting chance, and that whole early alarm clock shouldn't faze him too much.
And of course, everybody remembers Ahmad Brooks, and the Niners really deserved a win last year. Not that necessarily mm-hmm. counts for anything this week, but just as a reminder.
You know, Kaepernick's one of the best road quarterbacks this year. He's got 7 touchdowns, 1 pick, passer rating over 100. So
I just think they're going to lean on him. He's going to run the ball all over the place. I don't buy that Saints defense is going to have enough to stop him from doing that. All right, let's talk about the game that we got into just a little bit earlier. Handsome Hank's Miami Dolphins. 5-3, legit contenders it would seem, at the Detroit Lions at 6-2. Handsome Hank, how say you?
The Miami Dolphins are going to Detroit, and they're going to win.
Ooh.
I'm going to have to throw my flag on
that. Yeah, that's personal, too.
I'm very impressed with what Miami did. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, just Calvin Johnson being back on the field is going to make them have to adjust. They haven't faced anybody like him.
I remember when they went to Chicago. Face two guys that are fairly like yeah. Calvin Johnson. But carry on. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Because that offense has been functional. You know, the Lions right now, they're getting healthier all the way around. They've been all sorts of banged up, which you alluded to. And the really, to me, the one guy for Miami that really deserves a lot of credit this year, I keep saying it to you privately, is Lamar Miller has had a very good year, but he is banged up. And that worries me. That Lions front is very difficult to run against. I think they're the number one rush defense mm-hmm. in the league. Am I
yep.
close?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so. But their running offense is the 31st. So that could be an interesting little matchup there because they're running up against a
yeah,
pretty
Lions
good
run
Dolphins defense.
By the way,
those Dolphins wins include the Patriots,
yep.
as you mentioned that, mm-hmm. a dominant victory against the Chargers, who would appear to be a good
right.
team, and the Bears.
And
who,
the Bears, and they were seconds away from defeating the Green Bay Packers.
One play away from defeating Aaron Rodgers,
right.
yeah.
And then, you know, you've got a Lions team that has not really been able to stop people from sacking them. And you've got Cam Wake and Olivier Vernon.
I agree
and all
with that,
the
too.
Other
I think it's
that the Dolphins are going
to
bring.
You could make a case that this is a better game than the mm-hmm. Saints-Niners to me, but I think it's a little ironic that the one team that really did flatten the Dolphins, I don't care what the score was, just the eyeball test, were the Chiefs.
Right.
And their quarterback plays exactly, I think, the way you want Ryan Tannehill to play, as far as using
yeah, right.
his legs, but not using them all the time, just right. when it's in the right. Speaking of a guy that's having a fantastic season, Alex Smith.
Absolutely. We'll get to that one in a second. But real quick, what's Staton in?
Well, here's a note that you're not going to enjoy, Hank, is
right.
that, you know, you'd think playing indoors, climate controlled, everything's good. Not if you're Ryan Tannehill. He's 0-4 in his career indoors. 3 touchdowns, 8 picks. What's up with that?
I don't know that that statters.
I don't.
Come on.
Last year, Dave brought up the fact that the Dolphins had to prove they could win in the cold, and they did against the Steelers, and suddenly this changed their mentality. I'm not sure that this is.
Yeah, but Antonio Brown stepped out of bounds on the last play of the game, or else the Steelers would have won.
I think they need to prove that they can win in a air-conditioned, climate-controlled football environment. Right.
This is going to be a hard one to watch for anybody with a sartorial bent like myself. That aqua of the Dolphins. Let's hope they don't go with the aqua pants. It'll be too much against that blue jersey of the Honolulu blue of the Detroit Lions. All right, next game. Black Tie wants us to move along. How do I know that he wants us to move along? Because when he's serious, he just says it into your ear, and the audience can't hear it. He goes like, so
move on to the next game. You have to – I mean, it's time to move on. Dave, please, next game.
All right, let's get to the next game then. Alex Smith's Chiefs at Kyle Orton's Buffalo Bills. Lay it on us, Handsome Hank.
I think that the Chiefs are going to have a hard time in Buffalo, and I've picked Kyle Orton's Bills to win this one.
All right, interesting.
I'm going to have to throw my cherry red.
Yeah!
Wow, look at you!
Nice. I'm taking Kansas City. In fact, Drew Statton and I sat at his cubicle. He's got a spacious cubicle. For the cubicles at the NFL office, he's probably got the best dicks.
He does have
be
a good,
honest.
He's got a
Thanks,
good
guys.
Space.
But
it's no office like Hank, but I'll take it.
You could probably verbalize this better than I did, but we were looking at that stat, combined knockdowns and sacks. Mm-hmm. Kyle Orton had been the most knocked down and sacked quarterback in the league per pass attempt. Mm-hmm. And then the Chiefs were in the top five in that exact same category defensively getting to the quarterback. I think he's going to have a hard time protection-wise.
Well, it's funny. I keep floating this the last week or so, but I really do feel like, you know, we people who talk about football week after week in season sort of develop what we think is the case, and then you sort of defend that for the rest of the year to some degree at least, and so that you have credibility so that you're not back and forth all week. All season, but the Chiefs, everybody, universally, were declared finished. The injuries defensively, they still don't have any pass catchers. This team is garbage. They're 0-3.
Hammered at home week one against Tennessee.
Lost season for 2014, and now they're 4-5-3, and no one wants to talk about them because everybody agreed.
Because they're already dismissed them.
But I thought we all agreed this is over with. Now do we have to pretend that this matters? That said, I'm going with the Bills. I like them at home. I think they're a nice story. And as long as Kyle Orton can continue to get the ball into the hands of Sammy Watkins and the other playmakers, along with that terrific defense, I'll take Buffalo at home. Drew Statton, how say you?
Well, if the Chiefs could play the AFC East every week and get out of the AFC West, I think they'd take that. They're 3-0, outscoring those three teams by 20 points this season.
Yeah, right.
Go for the clean sweep here. And you mentioned Sammy Watkins. He's looking to be the fourth player in franchise history with 100 yards in three straight games.
Wow. Is he right now the rookie of the year, EH?
No. Zach Barton to me, Cowboys offensive lineman.
Oh, yeah, you keep
pushing
that one, and you're wise to do so. He has been terrific. How about you, Handsome Hank? Who gets your
vote? I like Watkins.
Yeah.
I think he's the rookie wide receiver often hits the wall, and he doesn't look like he's anywhere near to doing that. Gets stronger every week.
What a year. 2014, the year of the rookie wide receiver, and not the least of whom is Martavis Bryant of the Steelers. He's only dressed for three games now and has 5 touchdowns already.
Yeah, let me say, I think Hank is right. I mean, I think Sammy Watkins is a far better shot of beating Zach Martin. There's no way Zach Martin's going to get it, but has Sammy Watkins been as good a player at his position as Zach Martin's been
at his?
That's
a fair point.
No way.
All right, let's go. You got anything else there on that one, Drew Statton, or should I move on to our next game?
No, we can move.
All right, thank you, sir. Thank
I don't want to
sir.
Upset Black Tie. I don't want to get kicked off the show next week.
No. All right. I'm tempted to go Bears-Packers, but I'm sure everybody's taking Packers in this one, right?
Nobody's taking
the Bears?
Let's not bother with
Monday
that.
Monday Night Football, then. The Carolina Panthers, you know, listen, they have not been a great team this year, but they've had their moments. And I stand by Cam Newton. You know, he always gives them a puncher's chance week after week. And at 3-5-1, if the Saints don't take care of the Niners, then the Panthers are right back in this thing. And they're playing Mark Sanchez's Eagles. EH, how say you?
I'm taking the Eagles at home.
All right. Handsome?
I'm not going to throw a challenge flag on that one either. I'm going to take the Eagles. I agree with you that Cam Newton does normally give them a puncher's chance. Last Thursday night, he didn't. He looked out of sorts in a bigger way than I've seen for a while.
But to me, as I say a lot, because I'm a defender, I guess, or the
I'm a defender of his too. I'm
in this group of human beings, and I really do think that everybody needs to sort of take a look in the mirror and ask themselves what kind of quarterbacks they're getting behind. Do you like the system QBs? And Tom Brady mm-hmm. and Peyton Manning are that. You know,
right.
they're guys that, as I always say, game manager has a stink on it, but that's basically what they're doing. They are accurate. They're on time, and these are the virtues. The problem is that when things go awry, they really don't have an answer to that. If the pocket's breaking down like it was in New England in the first part of the year, Tom Brady struggles mightily. Peyton Manning, it gets chilly outside. He doesn't play well up in Foxborough. Same thing. The pocket was really the issue for him against the Patriots on Sunday, and he looked lousy. He throws a lot of floaters. Give me the guys that can do it under less than perfect circumstances. Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, Ben Roethlisberger. What you give up in accuracy, you make up for, in my book, over the long haul with making special plays that very few others can. And Tony Romo's one of those guys. And Cam Newton misses a ball terribly. He throws a terrible ball that should have been a touchdown to, I think it was to Kelvin
Benjamin
over the middle. He throws it behind and late. And then you think, well, see, that's what Cam doesn't do, and that's a touchdown if Peyton throws that ball. Then two plays later, he takes off with the ball and runs it in and makes a dynamite run and sticks the ball
over
the nuts.
Okay, I agree, but there's a certain creativity that sometimes he brings to the position when it's unnecessary. So when you see Roethlisberger make one of those schoolyard plays or Romo do his little backspin to get past the outside rusher, they're not doing that just because I'm bored. They're doing it because of necessity. There was a play late in that game where the Panthers really needed a third down conversion, and Cam Newton just decided to sidearm it for no reason. Just, hey, I'm just going to sidearm this. It was way off the mark. That's the problem. The other thing is, if you've got Kelvin Benjamin, you're going to throw a back shoulder fade. Then throw it up so your guy – that's the whole advantage the guy has. Don't throw a rocket ball. You know, sometimes he just decides – kind of Brett Favre used to do that early in his career. Just decide, I'm going to hum this one. Just for fun. The guy's 5 yards from me.
Playing for style points.
Yes. I mean, literally, there was no pressure. He just decides to sidearm it. I
hear
get that.
You. That cute stuff is nonsense. But the counter to that is really, it's like, who are you getting behind, fans? You know, who are you really
supporting?
I understand
supporting? What you mean.
Are you the one who, like, well, he studied really hard for the test and he made an A on it? Or is that the guy who you're excited about? Or are you talking about the one who's got the swagger and the joie de vivre? You know, those guys are the second group that I gave you. Again, you know, the Rodgers and the Roethlisberger and Cam Newtons, they're the swagger. They're the movie stars. These other guys, you know, they studied hard. That's what we praise. Hey, he does his homework. He gets there first and he leaves last. Oh, wonderful. he should move up to Mount Pius then. We love that kind of a guy, that good student type. You know what I'm saying, right, Drew Stanton?
Yeah, I don't know how to follow that. Do you follow that with stats?
Yeah, follow it up with some stats.
You immediately become the
Tell
guy
us about
who
how good Mark Sanchez
to come up with
is
some
be.
Stats.
And by the way, let me just say this about Mark Sanchez, because we don't know. He did throw two picks in that game against the Texans, but he was jammed in there out of the blue, and so he performed pretty well given that that was the case. If he's good, though, it is such an indictment of the Jets coaching staff that, well, he's not bad. It's just, his coaches were atrocious. It really is. It's really an unflattering statement. And in a weird way, if there's any hope for Rex Ryan and his gang, I think this. If Mark Sanchez soars the rest of the way, then Woody has to be like, well, we can't keep this guy. I mean, they look at what
there's
Mark
no
Sanchez
way,
is doing.
Forget about anything that Mark Sanchez.
I know he's
done.
Getting
there's
fired.
There's no way anyway, he's staying with that team next year.
All right, I get. But if there were any,
it. I get
if there
your
were,
point.
Yeah, if there yeah. were any sliver of hope, this will do it. If Sanchez is good.
Yeah, maybe just don't throw the ball deep. Because that's really where Sanchez, that's where both of his picks came on passes 10 yards downfield. It's where 48 of his 71 in his career have come. He was 80% when he was throwing it 10 yards or less last week. So I think that they have the weapons, they have the playmakers. Just don't ask him to, you know, hit Macklin on a 40-yard bomb.
A little snarky.
It's not going to happen.
That's what we. That's why we call it. That's why we say he has a
bad
statitude.
Oh, you know.
Wow.
We got to get the motorcycle sound. We haven't done that.
I just did it for you.
Yeah, you're right.
That is a sound effect. You don't, Black Tie, don't worry about that. You're never going to need that. I've got it. Got you covered.
Drew Statton's got a bad statitude.
But you dress like the president of a staternity, for sure. A staternity.
That was too far. Yeah, it was. You went too far there.
I agree with that.
That one didn't even... I'm glad you...
I'll go ahead and give the...
probably time to show yourself the door.
The stand, whatever.
All right. I'm going to real quick, because time is running short already for us here, before we get to Drew Statton's amazing stats of the week here, I would like to share with you very quickly, and sure enough, I just lost them there, my other picks there. I will tell you that I went with the Bengals at home, taking the Niners on the road at New Orleans. I'll take the Falcons over the Bucks. That one is one of the tougher
That's
ones.
That's tough.
Anybody, what do you guys
I agree with you, but that might it's be the hardest game to pick.
The Bucks did play them pretty tight last time.
They did. They really did just about take them down in, what was that, week 2, right?
No, that was like 56 or whatever on Thursday.
They won. Oh, I'm thinking of that.
They won the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the Carolina game. That might have even been week 1. They didn't do very well. Why am I? So, yeah, that's why I'm taking the Falcons. Here's E.H., you're a Cowboys wonk, all right? We don't know about Tony Romo, whether he's playing or not. I get the sense that he is going to play.
I do, too.
So pick that game for me. I have the Jags checked here right now. Talk me out
really?
Of it.
Really?
All right, I'll talk you out of it. I don't know how the Jags are going to account. They've got a decent pass rush this year, which is good, but I don't think they're going to be able to stop that offensive line. I don't think they have the run stoppers to shut down DeMarco Murray for a full game. And if they do that and the Cowboys go too tight, I think if Whedon plays, I think Garrett and his staff, they're going to rein it in. He's not going to be trying to get the ball out, and he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to get the ball outside. He can go to his tight ends, Whitten and Escobar. And I think they can beat him with a completely more conservative approach. If they lost again to the Cardinals because of those picks outside. If you play Escobar and Whitten on the field at the same time, go two tights and just run it down them. And when they start playing run, just hit both tights. And Gavin Escobar, friend of the show now, right?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. He's paid us a visit here via the telephone.
But I think Romo's going to play anyway, so I think this is going to be a moot point.
But I think even if Romo plays, they may go conservative anyway. I don't think they're going to want to ask Tony Romo to do a whole lot if they don't have to.
This may be a Dez Bryant 3-catch, 52-yard day is what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying about them trying to grind DeMarco a little bit more there. I just have it's a recurring one, and he's let me down more often than not. But Blake Bortles, I know that he's turning the ball over a ton, but I feel like when you watch him play, I feel like he's just missing on a couple of plays there. Early in the game last week, he barely overthrows what should have been a touchdown pass, and then the whole game plays out differently, of course, if he hits that strike. Drew Statton, anything to weigh in here?
Jamarcus Russell barely misses intended targets a lot, too.
A bitter Raiders fan. Thanks. Well, see, sometimes the heart comes through, even for guys who like the numbers. I'm going to take the Steelers at the Jets, but if you just assume, well, they're 1-8, and therefore the Steelers should make quick work of this team, for two things. First of all, Mike Vick makes the team a different proposition than Geno Smith does. And two, you know, everybody
Dave,
in what?
Stop.
I'm taking the Steelers.
Just stop. You don't need to try and make it sound like you might potentially think the Jets can win the game. Ben Roethlisberger is going to throw 7, maybe 8, maybe 12 touchdowns.
Let me jump in front of
Drew
Statton here.
Before.
Drew Statton's falling all over himself to throw this out here. Let me just tell you something. Mike Tomlin's kryptonite since he got to Pittsburgh is beating teams that have an under 500 record at the time of the game, especially on the road. He's lost 8 of those. He's lost 8 games in what's a relatively short amount of time going on the road. They lose to the Raiders. When Mike Tomlin's Steelers play the Raiders, who have never been good when Mike Tomlin's there, they always okay, Elliot's going to take off there. He's weighed in on Romo and Whedon and the rest, so he's going to go do some NFL now. Make sure you track down his work
I love
there.
The Steelers-Jets-Uni matchup. I just had to throw
that
in. That
is
a
nice
good
one.
The
white
Both
jersey.
Ways. Both ways.
Yeah, but they'll wear the white jerseys up in the Meadowlands, and the Jets will wear the home green. That is a handsome one. Although, bittersweet for any longtime Steelers fan, because they will remember that in the last season of Shea Stadium, it was the last game Terry Bradshaw ever threw a pro pass. He blew out his elbow in that game. I watched it, too, and it made me sad. And that was the end of it. All right. So my point on the Steelers is this. Mike Tomlin struggles historically against lesser foes on the road for whatever weird reason. The other thing is, everybody's talking about why the Steelers have been able to turn it around these last few weeks. The offensive line has improved. They're using some of the younger guys. The secondary receivers have really emerged now. All valid. But the real key is that they're getting turnovers. This is something, it is such a luxury that for the last 3 years, something that Steelers defense has not done. And you watch their big seasonal turnaround was that in the Texans game, that 3 or 5 minute stretch there at the end of the first half. And ever since then, they're getting a couple of turnovers that just swing the game. And if those dry up, then so too does this mighty, impregnable Steeler team. I mean,
isn't it lucky you're playing against Michael Vick or Geno Smith then?
I suppose.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Steelers.
I don't think we need to spend any more time on this game.
I'm taking the Ravens at home against the Titans. I'm taking the Bills over Chiefs, Lions over Dolphins, Broncos over Raiders. Sorry, Drew Stanton. I'm going to take the Cardinals at home against the Rams, but I don't think that's a gimme. The Seahawks over the Giants, that is a gimme. The Packers at home against the Bears, and I'll take the Eagles over the Panthers. There's all your picks for you. And anything you want to throw out here, just freeform it now. Improv it there, Drew Stanton.
I just want Canton Football Baby be bought because I would love for him to fall on the Raiders.
He's pure.
I just want to know whether it seems unfair that we're picking these games not knowing what Football Baby's picked because it kind of renders anything I do entirely pointless.
I understand that, but for your own, you know, I guess, all right, I may as well just tell you, it's really just to give you a little sense of dignity. Yeah. I mean, what's the point? What's the point? What's the point of anybody who talks or writes or whatever about football for a living?
Well, I mean,
with Football Baby. Football Baby, basically, here's what NFL Network, what NFL media could be, just running his picks on a loop. What else needs to be said?
I've received 4 resignation letters this week.
Is that
the
right?
The entire around the NFL group is planning on leaving.
Yeah.
Not just leaving the NFL, but leaving football entirely.
I hear on the coaches show, I hear Mooch and Brian Billick both also. Same sort of conundrum. Where do we go from here? What's our role? Well,
It's tough to motivate your team when Football Baby falls the other way. You might why show up?
Yeah, that's it. Well, I think that the Chargers got wind of it, and that was, you know, by the end of the first half, that was kind of this, like, why did we
on their Microsoft tablets on the sideline, they weren't looking at plays. They were looking, hey, did you see Football Baby picked against us?
Let's make some lemonade out of this lemon and see at least who Football Baby took in the Sunday night game, the Ravens, and then the Steelers, and so at least they could have a meaningful conversation on the flight back, you know, we could play cards. We don't have to watch the game on our TV because
we know
the final is going to be. All right, so listen. Give us your stats there, Drew Stanton.
Oh, we're going stats of the week?
We're going stats of the week. Are you leaving, Hanson?
I have to go as well. I'm pretty sorry because I do love your stats, Drew. But,
okay.
Fare thee well,
Hanson. I don't want you to be upset like you were with Black Tie when you arrived here. I would like to – what I'll do, here's what I'll do. I promise I'll listen to the podcast, then I'll still hear your stats. I just won't hear them live.
Okay. That's fair.
Sound fair?
I'd like to hear more attitude being shot back.
Well, I mean, I would like for Hank to call me back when I call him to ask when we're taping the podcast during the week, but, you know,
there it is. That's a bad statitude. All right, best
Hank
to
Hank does a great motorcycle sound
Thank
effect.
You. I've been practicing since I was 3.
So there goes Handsome. We wish his Dolphins the best. Would be intriguing to see them in the mix. Just like they were last year, right up to the end of the season with a shot. It is weird. I'm not a parity guy. I don't like parity. I like top-heavy leagues. I think it makes for more compelling stuff once you get into the postseason. I don't like the sense of coin flips, you know, that basically every game comes down to a coin flip. But anyway, all right, so we'll see with that. That's one of the more intriguing ones. And if the Lions win it, I keep saying it, and I want it repeat. I'm going to keep repeating it because – I'm sticking my neck out. I think the Seahawks are not going to the playoffs, and the Lions are a big reason why. If the Lions keep this role going, that takes one extra playoff spot away from the Seahawks.
So you think the Packers and the Lions both get in the North?
Yes.
And then what, then just one in the West?
Then it comes down to some mix of can the Cowboys hang in there the rest of the way? That's a question mark. And then the other question is, can the Niners turn it on?
You're essentially picking the Cowboys over the Seahawks for that second wild card spot.
Pretty much, yeah.
Is that a wise move? Is that really?
They have the head-to-head against them, so right there they're in better shape. And I keep saying it, they can give the ball to Marshawn Lynch, you know, and he's going to run hard to some degree. But I'm telling you, that offense is so one-dimensional.
I'll tell you this about football, though. Football is not the sport where you go at 80%. You're going to get hurt if you do that. So I don't think Marshawn Lynch is out there not giving his full 110% because he's like, I'm not going to be here next year.
I just think it's not professional integrity.
Especially at that position.
I know he runs hard, but listen, we know that he can be petulant. And I think that somebody or some people who have his best interests in mind, there's an argument, if you quit on the season, then who's going to want to sign you? But on the other hand, listen, you run hard. Save yourself, you know, push for a backfield by committee. I don't know if that's going to be. I do know that it's not like Percy Harvin's the only absence from that team. They also lack Golden Tate. They don't have a
Golden Tate, who somebody argue
wide receiver.
Might be a top 10 wide receiver this season.
I mean, yeah. Doug Baldwin is very nice, but he's their best wide receiver, their best pass catcher.
Yep.
I mean, they don't even have a tight end. Some teams have, well, you know, I don't love those receivers in New Orleans outside of, well, they have Jimmy Graham to make up for that. Same thing with New England. It's Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson running around. That's your best. He completed fewer than 50% of his balls against the Oakland Raiders last week. Eek. All right.
Yeah.
Lay them on us. Stats of the week.
Well, I'm going to go football baby and just tell the Raiders, don't show up.
Okay.
Focus on week 13. You're playing the Rams. That's your next shot at a win. Just don't even look at film on the Chiefs, on the Chargers. Just forget about it. Manning is 6-0 on the road against the AFC West with the Broncos. He's 4-0 against the Raiders. He's never lost to a team that was 0-3 or worse. He's 8-0. He's 6-1 after a loss with the Broncos. I mean, just take this one off.
All right.
Rest your player. Matt McGloin, man, warm up your arm. there's only two teams in the NFL that don't have a rushing play of 20 yards from a running back this season. Who you got?
How many?
There's only two. Don't have a rushing play of 20 yards by a running
back. I feel like Darren McFadden must have done that at some point in the one good game he had. He had one good game earlier this year. No, wait, there's a team, two teams.
Two teams. Black Tie Man, go ahead and jump in.
I'll say one is the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm. That's not right. I'm not. But
I'm going to go with
Stephen Ridley has a 43-yard run this year.
This is a tough one. The Bucks, maybe? No, I think Rainey has busted few big ones.
That's a pretty good call, though. And I would imagine Ryan. Oh, no, we know. Let's see.
Let us know what it is.
Definitely not the Saints.
We got,
it's a Carolina Panthers, this one.
No, you were right when you were going McFadden earlier. And,
oh,
you know,
really?
He deceived you. He flattered to deceive, I think, is what happened.
Oh,
say.
Well, and then Denard Shoelace would have gotten one for the Jags. So
yeah,
be
he
that.
Has.
So, yeah, McFadden's longest is 17 yards. Their longest run this year is by Derek Carr, 41-yarder. And Matt Forte with the Chicago Bears has a 19-yard run.
Oh,
it's the longest.
No, really?
Jay Cutler got a 25-yarder.
Forte's been a nice stats machine in spite of that. That's interesting. There are some other ones. I was sure it was going to be the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. Bishop Sankey, I suppose.
Yeah,
I wish I could just spout off what his longest run is, but, you know, I'm not EH.
Probably Sankey. All right, fellas, you got another one there for us,
Sure, and I'll even bring in your Steelers into this. I thought it was kind of impressive that the Bills and the Chiefs are meeting for the seventh straight year this year.
It is a strange thing how the schedule breaks that way. There are certain games that teams play.
And next week, the Titans and the Steelers will play for the seventh straight year.
Wow.
Which is just kind of weird, and so I thought, you know, that must be... Like, what non-divisional teams could possibly have played longer than that? That must be the longest.
The schedule makers have a long-lasting affection, I guess, for the old Houston Oilers-Pittsburgh Steelers rivalry, because that is who the Tennessee Titans used to be, and they even wear the same colors.
Well, the seven isn't even in the top five of the longest streaks since 1970. The longest from 1981 to 1992, the Saints and the Bucks matched up 12 straight years.
Wow, what a weirdness.
Yeah, and then you had obviously the Colts Patriots.
Was that
with
try
Brady
and
Manning.
Build that market, I'm guessing? Was that or to try and build pro football in that neck of the woods, New Orleans, I mean,
perhaps.
SEC country, Tampa? I don't know.
You know, and yeah, you know, also obviously with the, you know, with the way the standings, where they fall in the standings and, you know, and all that, but, you know, then 10 years in a row we had Colts Patriots, Packers Rams 10 years in a row from 88 to 97, and Steelers Chargers 10 years in a row from 87 to 96.
How very odd. I'll throw this stat at you that you already know, but it seems other people do not know. You know, this thing about stats, I'm going to come back to Roethlisberger. People have been dropping me a line saying, you're crazy, you're such a homer to say Ben Roethlisberger belongs in the Hall of Fame. You know, the swagger and the big wins and all that stuff are the reason he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. It's a gut call. You know, I really think when the voters sit down to do it, they're going to be like, yeah, Ben Roethlisberger, when I think of him, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. But beyond that, if you need the numbers, he is going to retire comfortably in the top 20 in total yards and in touchdown passes by the time he's finished. So rest easy, everybody who thinks Roethlisberger isn't, or you're loco if you think he isn't, because you're on the wrong side of the history on that. That reminds me, I was on with our pal Ross Tucker, and be on the lookout for the Ross Tucker podcast. Terrific stuff. As always, Greg Cosell was on there. So was I, like I say. We talked a little football, baby, some uniforms, some other hooey and applesauce. Always great to talk with Ross Tucker. Track down his podcast in Black Tie. I want to return the favor. We like to do our home and home series when we talk to Ross. Let's get him for next week, next Monday, and kibitz about this, that, and the other on the other side of Week 10, shall we?
Yes, we shall. Can we wrap the show right now?
We can wrap it right now. And be on the lookout. My parting words are these, people. The Football Baby will be up for your perusal. Maybe it already is. NFL.com. Just search for Football Baby. The Sheck Report was a good one this week, so look that one up. And Drew Statton, great work out of you. Christensen, Drew.
That's it.
That's how you follow you.
Thanks for having me back, guys. Especially you, Black Tie. I really appreciate it.
No worries, man. I'm glad we could squash this beef.
No, it was a cuss-cutting move, you know. I had to sign him back for a 10-day contract.
I gotcha.
And because Shaq wanted to bring a stat by himself onto the show, and it was wrong. And I was like, oh, no, we need the pro back in here.
Yeah, I got you. What a hero Black Tie was in this case. he really pulled this one out for you. All right, so listen. That's the end of that. We'll call it quits. We'll be back after Week 10 to review the action and look forward to Week 11. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.